You may know Paul Feig from his day job. He's a director and a writer. He's behind the cult classic TV show Freaks and Geeks and the 2011 comedy Bridesmaids.
I'm ready to party!
Well, for our purposes these next few minutes, Feig would like us to know him by another title, Drunk Funkel. Emphasis on the fun part. His new book is called Cocktail Time, and he says it is a love letter to the aesthetics and culture around cocktails, which felt to me like as good a starting point as any for our annual, all things considered, holiday cocktail chat. Paul Feig, the warmest of welcomes. Thanks for doing this.
Mary Louise, thank you so much. I'm honored to be in the bar with you, the NPR bar.
The NPR bar. As I was reading your book, on more than one page, felt like I had just been invited and stepped into this very swank, very fun cocktail party. And I think the reason is there are a lot of books with recipes for cocktails out there, but yours, you get into it that how it's not just the drinks. It's about who you're with and what you're wearing and the cut of the glass. So just take us all into this party. Set the scene for me.
Yeah. You know, I mean, to me, you know, cocktails are fun, and cocktails, to me, represent grown-up life and grown-up fun. And, you know, even when I was a kid, I didn't really want to be a kid. I would watch Bewitched and see Darren come home and mix a martini. I go, that looks like fun to me more than having candy or soda or something. Look, you can enjoy cocktails and just have mocktails. Like, don't make a mocktail into a scarlet letter for the person. What's in the glass isn't as important as the glass. It's really about the lifestyle you're bringing to it. It is about the glassware, the lighting. It's everything about creating a moment that is a little grown-up reward at the end of your day, or if you're going to, you know, throw a cocktail party to make it a classy, fun event. But always the emphasis on fun. I just think we just need to have more fun as adults.
I read, just to make this personal, that you, ironically, for someone who's written a book about cocktails, you were raised by parents who didn't drink, who saw bars as these bad places that you looked down on.
Yeah, I was brought up as a Christian Scientist, so clearly I'm a lapsed one. Yeah, there was no alcohol in the house. My parents would, you know, almost had to look away when you drove past a bar. But the thing is, bars are such a different thing, especially in the Midwest where I'm from. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. And bars are kind of places of shame. They're like bunkers, have no windows. They're usually standalone places with, you know, kind of scary names like Joe's and Rocco's and all that stuff. And it wasn't until I went to London, it was walking down the street and saw a bunch of people like at 5 o'clock out on the street. And I was like, oh, well, has there been like an evacuation? It's like, no, it's the pub.
It's the pub?
Yeah. You know, and the big windows are in the pub. Even there's kids in there, you know, having a soda with their parents while they have a pint. And I go like, that's such a nice, non-puritanical, mature way to kind of look at alcohol.
Speaking of the whole cocktail experience,
yeah,
including what music might be playing as you take that glorious first sip, do you have a favorite or a holiday go-to that we should put on as you and I get mixing here?
Well, my favorite cocktail song is by Xavier Cugat, and it's his version of One Mint Julep.
I am going to invite you into the NPR kitchen.
Oh,
and we're going to make one. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm just, okay. I'm putting on my tuxedo.
I will meet you on the other side.
Excellent.
Okay.
All right. So, yes, we're going to make the Churchill Manhattan. Step one is you have to get yourself 1.5 ounces of scotch.
There we go.
Excellent. Now what you want to do is 1/2 ounce of sweet vermouth.
Got it.
Okay. Into our mixing glass.
Okay.
Now we're going to put in 1/2 ounce of Cointreau.
I am doing orange liqueur, but I'm doing Grand Marnier. Will that work?
Oh, yes. Actually, that's great. Grand Marnier has a little bit of extra spice, I find.
Ooh, okay. That sounds good.
Yeah.
And we're doing 1/2 ounce of this one, too.
1/2 ounce of this, exactly. You're making what I would call a Cadillac.
A Cadillac Churchill.
Exactly. And now you want 1/2 ounce of a lime juice, a fresh lime juice.
So I have a confession to make, Paul.
Yes.
In the name of journalism, I practiced this one to make sure I might like it before I had you make it for me. And I upgraded the orange liqueur to Grand Marnier. I upgraded to a single malt scotch. I was liking it already, but then I realized I had no limes, and I did a lemon instead.
Oh.
It was kind of good.
You liked it? Oh, well, you know what? Here's the great thing about mixology and cocktails is you can put your own spin on stuff. Okay, now let's stir it. Nice. That's going to be a nice cold one. So now, get your strainer.
Got it.
And now you're just going to pour this beautiful Churchill Manhattan.
It's a beautiful kind of honeyed color. Here goes. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, that's a good drink.
Oh, it's beautiful, actually.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Why is this a Churchill Manhattan?
It was invented for him at the Savoy Hotel back in his day.
Whatever you think of Winston Churchill and his politics, he knew a good cocktail.
Exactly. I'm always going to give him credit for that.
Well, here's to Winston.
Here. Now, Mary Louise, I want to take you to the polar opposite side of cocktail land.
Before we tell people anything about this drink, I want to just lay on them the very first line of your recipe, which is, and I quote, "I'm not going to lie, this drink is awful."
Yes, it is. It's called a hot pants. But here's the thing. Here's why I put it in the book, because in the 70s, in the disco, the height of the disco era, this was a very popular drink in discotheques. Now the Bee Gees are playing, the disco ball is spinning, the lights are flashing. Here we go. So we're going to do 1.5 ounces of tequila.
1.5 ounces.
Now we put in 1/2 ounce of grapefruit juice. All right, so now, you know, not so bad.
Very respectable. Tequila and a citrus juice. I'm in.
Well, now here comes peppermint schnapps. You heard me right.
Which you would really not see that one coming.
A full 1/2 ounce of peppermint schnapps.
I think I'm only agreeing to do this because the peppermint schnapps kind of has the seasonal holiday tinge to it. So it's feeling acceptable on that level, if no other.
There you go. And you're going to put 1 teaspoon of powdered sugar into this lovely drink. The next worst part of all this is you're going to take your glass and you're going to take some margarita salt.
Okay, and then we're dipping it in the salt.
And now you're going to take your shaker and you're going to gently shake. Give it a good mix. Pour the whole thing into the glass, ice and all.
You have a toast in here. Sip and enjoy. You never know. You might like it.
This could be somebody's favorite drink, so I shouldn't be poo-pooing it. But here we go.
Yeah, no, it's pretty bad.
It's unbelievably bad.
Paul Feig, this was so much fun.
Thank you so much, Mary Louise. I had the greatest time making you a nice drink and a terrible drink.
May the rest of your holidays improve over this truly terrible cocktail.
And to you, too.